Hello and welcome to episode 19 of the Vodka for Breakfast podcast. I'm Isaac as always, and joining me this week is Milan. How are you?
I'm doing good.
So last time we had you on, it was October.
Is that long ago?
Yeah, it was the Halloween special.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Hey, Halloween. Halloween last year was fantastic.
Yeah, you don't remember any of it, though, do you?
I remember the podcast.
And that's the most important bit.
Yeah.
So who are you?
I am an artist and a writer and a blogger and I do videos, but I don't know. I'm an artist.
Okay, so you're an artist and you're from Canada.
I'm from Canada, right.
Yeah, and that's why we love you.
Yay.
Yeah.
I'm one of those peaceful hippies from the cold north.
Yay. Yeah, one of those peaceful tech hippies.
Tech hippies, yes, I'm a tech hippie.
Yeah. You also used to sing in a band.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that...
a while ago.
Yeah.
That didn't work out.
You said once that your mother found your name in a phone book when she named you. Is that true?
I recently learned otherwise. I thought it was true, but it turns out I'm just a gullible little schmuck. that wasn't true.
Yeah, it sounds like one of those things your parents would just tell you to see if you would believe it. Like Santa Claus.
Yeah, it was.
Jesus. So after the recording of episode 3, you messaged me like a few days or weeks later, and you said that you mentioned you listened to the other podcasts and there was a lot that you would have liked to have said but didn't say.
I didn't realize how much I could like just talk about myself. I didn't talk about myself like probably could have. It's probably got something to do with my Canadian like modesty, you know. Mm-hmm. Kind of don't, we're modest and respectful of other people. I don't know.
Is that like a Canadian thing or are you just making that up?
I'm just playing on stereotypes here. I'm just...
Hopefully.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So you wanted them to talk a lot more about spirituality and stuff like that? Yeah. So what is spirituality?
Spirituality, in my opinion, I guess I could look it up on Wikipedia, but honestly, the way I see it, it's finding a connection to the world that's not based on a purely logical sense, like just how do I describe that? It's a connection with oneself, I think.
A connection with oneself, but you're already connected to yourself.
An emotional connection with oneself, or a spiritual connection with oneself. it's trying to make sense of the things that we can't make sense of yet.
Right, I see where you're going with that. But why would you want to do that?
Because there are certain things that science can't answer, like morals. Should we have them? Should we not? Right?
Really? Should we have morals? Is that... Well, obviously we should. I think that's quite...
Is it
quite
really obvious? Well, it depends on how you look at the world, right? Like, is it dog-eat-dog? Or is it a communal-based sort of, like, be wonderful and love, right?
Be wonderful and love. Yeah, that one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But there are people who would debate that with you, right? And so, one, it's good to have an opinion. So when you are addressed with a debate on that subject, you have an opinion.
Right.
And that's spirituality to me.
Having a position having a position, but not having scientific backup for it.
Well, there is no real scientific backup for, like, morals or... what do you call them? I don't know. But, you know, that sort of stuff. Like, is there scientific backup for it? Is there really? I don't know.
Well, some people would argue with you on that. I know one person in particular, he's called Sam Harris, and he thinks that we can derive morals from science.
Yeah?
Yeah, he actually does some pretty interesting talks on that.
I will have to look that guy up.
Yeah,
Sam
Harris.
The morals of...
Harris. Yes.
Yeah, if he was Sam Harris, I wouldn't know if I really agree with his motto. No, I'm kidding.
So, yes. How does this differ from like a mental connection with yourself?
Well, do you know have you ever read anything of Carl Jung or
no.
Freud?
Freud. No.
You know, the guy who had issues with his mother?
No.
I know who
Freud is. He's like an Austrian guy from the past.
Yeah, he was a psychologist.
Yeah.
His buddy, Carl Jung, psychologist, where Freud took logical approach thing, young, took a very good thing. So the way I look at it, what was it? What did you ask me originally? Just forgot where I was going with this.
How does like spiritual health differ from mental health, or how does like a spiritual connection differ from a mental connection?
Right. So I don't think it differs. It's different, but it's like it works together. Because if you look at Freud or Carl Jung, Freud was always talking about the id, the ego, and whatever the third one was. And those are pretty solid structures. Like, a lot of people don't disagree with them. But Carl Jung went a little further, and he introduced his own spirituality into the mix too, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. There's a different level, right? Like, your mind, your brain and your mind are two different things, right? But they work together. That's the sort of idea, right?
Well, your brain is the physical object and your mind is the processes within.
It could be the observer and the mind, then, I should say.
The observer and the mind.
The observer and the mind, yeah.
I don't know about that.
The observer is the term that neuropsychologists have used to talk about the place in the brain they can't find that recognizes itself, that thinks outside, like that can understand itself, basically.
Yeah.
Which is, apparently it's difficult for these scientists to figure that out, because like, for something to recognize itself without actually being able to see itself, because, you know, you can only see yourself in a mirror. Most of the time you can't see yourself. Mm-hmm. So, and to I don't know, it's a bunch of psychology, and it's like, to recognize yourself is apparently really hard. So, it's like.
It's really complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just because there hasn't been a discovered part in the brain that you can point to that says this is the part that we have that other animals don't have that lets us recognize ourselves and gives us self-awareness doesn't mean it's not there.
That's true. Also, other animals do have it. Chimpanzees can recognize themselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dolphins can recognize themselves.
That's true.
Even macaws can recognize themselves. And a number of other animals.
Yeah, but some animals can't.
Most animals can't, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But like, regardless of whether this spirituality theory is true or not, everyone has like different interpretations of what spirituality is. So whether or not it's true or not, it at least has the illusion of being completely made up.
Well, that's true. You could look at it that way, but you could also look at, say, string theory, which is quantum physics. For the longest time, people were like, there were a number of theories for string theory, and no one could sort them out. Either they were all wrong, and one was right, or they were all wrong, or they were all right, right? So it was like religion, or spirituality in that sense, right? Like, sometimes there are questions, you simply have to go through that myriad of possibilities of theories before finding the solution. But I do separate religion from spirituality. I don't put them in the same room together.
Yeah, I see what you mean. But like, what was I going to say? But this, the string theory and quantum physics stuff, that is science and can be tested and experimented on. But this is spirituality and it can't.
Well, take, for example, some of the latest quantum physics, like they're studying quantum superpositioning or something like that, where a single particle or even an object, they've gotten bigger objects, are in two states at the same time, both usually vibrating and not. But the thing is, you can't observe it when it's doing that. So the only way for them to get the fact that it's doing this is to study the result of its quantum, like its dual state. So no one has actually seen anything in a dual state, but it's recognized as being true.
Yes. Do you think the same should apply to spirituality then? We should look at the results and not the actual processes that's in theory supposed to make it work.
For now, I think, yeah, that would probably. Thing is, it's too. I don't think humanity's at the position to actually say anything true yet, right? What is true and what isn't, right? But yeah, that would be the best way to logically approach it. Yeah.
Right. And what results would those be?
Looking at spirituality as a place to decide on morals and stuff like that. Look at it as, are you happy without morals? Are you happy with morals? How many people are happy with morals? That sort of stuff, right? That's the result of it, right? Are you happy with morals even when tons of other people are happy with morals? And which state is the best way to be, right? Like, it's not a science, it's spirituality.
Why?
Am I making any sense right now?
I can sort of vaguely understand what you're doing, yeah.
Well, I probably sound like a total weirdo.
Well, we all sound like total weirdos sometimes.
Yeah.
So this spiritual connection with yourself is supposed to give you morals.
That was one of the examples I used. Yeah. There's more to it. I've been studying a lot of Eastern philosophy. So I like those ones more. I think if you study Eastern philosophies, you might understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
It's such a personal thing. Like you said, there's so many viewpoints on it, right? Spirituality is such a personal thing because it's not a science, right? And right now, I don't think there's, honestly, science may at some point answer certain things. Maybe like whether there's existence after life. If you look at quantum physics, there's definitely going to be an answer for that. Are you conscious after you're dead, right?
No, you're not conscious after you're dead.
Well, if you look at quantum physics and you look at the brain, all right, it's a massive energy with consciousness.
Energy. Using
everything
that word.
Everything is waves. And what was the other one? Waves and something.
Particles.
Particles and waves, right. So solid and not solid.
Right.
So if that can have consciousness in this brain thing, right?
Right.
Then the question is, can it have consciousness outside? So that sort of stuff can be answered, but is there God? That sort of stuff, right? What is God, right? Is there a righteous path? That sort of thing, right? That stuff I don't think can ever be answered by science. So that's where spirituality has to answer that.
We can get into the God stuff later, but like the brain thing, it all has to be alive in order for it to work. Think of it like a bubble. It all has to be in like its collective state for it to work. And what the question of what happens after you die, to me, is sort of like asking what happens to your bubble after you burst it. What happens to your bubble after you burst it, Millen?
All the soap escapes.
Yes, all the energy, let's say, dissipates, and then you are at one with the earth again.
It's true.
You being the physical thing, not the mental or spiritual thing.
Yeah, but then you also have to think, what's a thought, right? A thought is just energy moving. If you have energy moving outside of your brain, is that energy moving outside your brain not potentially experiencing something, right?
Right. Well, no.
I don't know. I've watched a lot of documentaries that have put me into the state of mind of thinking this way. Have you ever seen Elegant Universe?
No.
And there's another one called What the Bleep Do We Know?
No.
You haven't seen those? Those ones are good. Those ones are really good. They're all quantum physics. And it really, if you understand it, which I probably didn't fully understand it, but An Elegant Universe really, it sticks to things that are really simple to describe, and gives you a gist of what's happening in quantum theory right now, and it's really, really cool.
Right. Well, okay, here's my point. Thousands of years ago, when science was just really taking off, there was a lot we didn't know, and those unknowns would just get hijacked by religious people and spiritual people and saying, it's the gods that are making the mudslides or the hurricanes, and we must do some kind of rein-dance or ritual to appease them. And that was them taking advantage of mankind's ignorance in science. And I think there's some parallel to that with what you're talking about today. You're talking about quantum physics, which is something we don't know a lot about, and putting a lot of spiritual ideas in there, which don't belong.
Oh yeah, I agree with you. It's easy to take take the science and then take someone's suggestion like, oh, maybe consciousness survives after death through quantum physics, right? When I say these things, I don't say, like, in my mind, I'm not thinking, oh, obviously, my consciousness will survive because of quantum physics. No, I have a spiritual faith that, yeah, I'm going to survive after, but that's not science. And I understand that. And so what I hope people do, which obviously isn't, and I have to take into consideration that more often, but, is that they'll go and look it up themselves and they'll figure that out for themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't intend to mislead anyone, right? But it's easy to mislead people. The masses tend to be fairly simple-minded at times.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll agree with that.
And, I think probably even the original authors of, like, say, if you read Genesis, like any other origin story, it's someone's attempt at, this is my opinion, it's someone's attempt at explaining the universe. And it does a fairly decent job if you look at how the metaphors, if you connect them with what science and astrophysics and stuff like that have discovered now, the metaphors...
It's not a decent job at all.
You know what? It started with darkness, and then there was light, you know, the Big Bang. You could look at it like that, right? Like, people had some interesting ideas that, for the time, way back then, they did... Well, actually, comparing them to, like, the Mayan civilization, they did a horrible job. But the Mayans were around pretty far back then, too. So, but even still, look at... You gotta also consider, these texts came off of knowledge from a society that fell, right? All the people who were still studying after Sumeria disappeared and, well, they didn't disappear, they fell. That's what I mean. And Egypt was starting to fall and I was out across the ocean. So the texts started popping up, right? The Old Testament and stuff started getting really popular. And that's when all these religions really got, a foot in the door, right? Is when, and if you look at Sumeria had some serious science going on. Do you know about Sumeria?
No.
It was one of the first super civilizations like us, right? Like, the G8, G20 now is, you could look at it as one big super civilization. Sumeria was like that. They even had, this was way back in history, back when like Egypt was at its peak. You know, it was like just, it was new, it was big, it was whatever, right? So this is really old history. This is as far back as we can go, right? And, they had sewer systems. They had schools like we have today, right? They had science like we have today. They had irrigation systems. They had currency. They didn't have democracy, but they had something. Where...
I don't think they had science like we have today.
Oh yeah, they did. They had philosophers and
are you saying
they were as advanced as Maya, the Mayan civilization. And the Mayan civilization knew all the planets in our solar system. And they were able to do a lot of using math. All they did was they used math. And honestly, look at a telescope and tell me that it couldn't possibly have been made before, right? Like, obviously they knew about the planet, so they found out about them some way. Some people say, oh, they knew aliens. I don't believe that.
Maybe.
So they must have found out about it somehow, right? Because they knew. So this civilization was pretty knowledgeable. They weren't as knowledgeable as us. We have far superior technology to allow us to know more, a lot more. But they knew more than their future generations because all that knowledge disappeared. It disappeared with their civilization, right? So... Where was I going with this? All right, the Bible and all those things. Religion sort of picked that up from their knowledge, right? What they'd been studying and philosophizing about, and that's not a word, but, you know, what they'd figured out. And what I think would happen is people took that and they did abuse it, right? They took it in a direction that allowed them to have control.
Yeah. What was the question?
Oh, I don't know anymore. Wow, I talk too much. Oh, dear Lord.
Oh,
sorry.
I was listening every step of the way, but then once you get past like the fourth step, you start forgetting the first step.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I like that.
It's a really cool civilization. It's not hard to find conspiracy theory documentaries on it, but it's also not hard to find some really genuine anthropological documentaries on Sumeria. It's a pretty fantastic city.
Yeah. I completely forget what happened in the last 28 minutes.
It was about origin stories. That's what it was about.
Oh yeah, origin
Genesis
stories.
And some of the Egyptian origin stories. Have you ever heard those?
Are they much different?
They're a lot different from Genesis, but there's one. I have this big book of like mythology and stuff, and so it's got a whole chapter on Egypt, and they have a few origin stories. One of them was that forget which god it is. I think it's Ra, the sun god. But this is from the Nile area, right? His wife was his hand, right? And it was just him and his wife. In the beginning,
and his wife was his hand?
His wife was his hand, and he,
okay, so that was...
masturbated, and...
I was just about to say! Oh.
Created everything from his, sperm after masturbating.
That's
It's
interesting.
some very, very interesting origin story. That's
I
probably
actually prefer
science
that
behind
origin story to the one we have, to the one they have in Genesis. I'll be honest.
I think that's further from the truth than Genesis.
Well, yeah, but it's more fun.
When I talk about Genesis, I'm not talking about Adam and Eve. I'm talking about the first batch of like the 7 days thing. That's what I talk about generally. I don't believe that only two humans created everyone. That's a bit excessive.
There's not enough genetic diversity.
Well, you know what? If you look at biology, two animals could keep, it just causes serious mutation, and it's really hard to actually get a viable species out of that. But it's possible. Just
Slimly
unlikely.
unlikely, like,
Yeah. So
yeah,
it's not impossible, it's just improbable.
highly improbable.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a something for the Christians to pick up and use for their side of the debate. Not impossible.
Well, not impossible. Well, a flying unicorn made of babies is not impossible, but
That is.
no, it
That's extremely impossible. That's
isn't.
how would that biologically even happen?
Use your faith, Millen. Use your spiritual faith.
All right, I'll use my power of mind, and it is true.
Yeah, everything is magically possible with faith, somehow.
Yep.
You know, what is faith to you?
Faith is believing something is true even when there's no solid evidence or solid base, no solid, or there's
No,
not
so
enough fact to base it as true. That's faith.
and how is that a good thing in any way, shape, or form?
Well, it depends. If you have faith that ice cream can be made out of arsenic, then that's bad. But if you have faith that, there's some almighty being up in the universe looking down and looking out for you and that makes you happy, then how's it bad?
Well, it makes it bad when they think that the magic being in the sky is talking to them, telling them to do things, and making the life harder for the rest of us.
If it makes it harder for the rest of society, then yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, I'm glad we
Honestly,
agreed.
yeah, no, I don't believe in spiritual superiority. I do not believe in that. There's no such thing. That's like I said before, spirituality is such a personal thing that there's no right way to look at it. Like there's no evidence to base that you're the only right one, right? And so religion likes to think that sometimes. But it's not true.
Yeah, and that's the issue we have with religion.
That is the issue I have with religion as well. Yes.
Yes, good. Shall we move on to a different topic?
Sure. Let's head off.
Yes, you did like a comic strip called Freaks with Feelings.
I
What
do.
was that? What was that about?
It's actually a comic book. It's about an alternate universe, Halifax, Nova Scotia, where the time-space continuum was torn during an event called the Halifax Explosion, which actually did happen, it just didn't tear time and space.
Right.
So it's sort of alternate history.
Ah, but
That sort of, yeah.
why are there people with phones as heads?
That has to do that has to do with what happened when the time-space continuum was torn. It has to do with a multi-choice timeline. Like every choice makes a new certain choices that the timeline splits off, right? Anyways, and it has something to do with time travelers caused this to happen. But I won't get into that for some time in the series. But basically, different timelines are sort of pinched together. So some people have mix-ups with the different timelines. They intersect. Like one guy's got a phone for a head. Which actually is important later on in the series.
You'll have to call someone.
It does have to do with the receiver on his phone, on his face. So yeah. But he doesn't call anyone. No. But
No.
it's a cool idea. Hopefully I get to do it. And then there's other people like Hot Girl, who lights on fire when she's experiencing strong emotions and she can't really control it too well. But and then there's Cool Guy who he wasn't born with any weird situation, but he got hit by what's called a time-space anomaly. They just pop up randomly. And after he got hit, his body crusted over in ice. So he's like Iceman, except he's always ice.
Yeah, okay. But what if he melts?
Well, that's the thing. He's got a special outfit that's specifically designed to liquid cool his body because
Ah, okay.
there is the worry that if he melts, he will melt completely.
Yeah.
But he's never tried that. He's never witnessed that happening. He has never melted that much. So he doesn't know.
Right.
That's important as well.
What made you want to do a comic?
What makes people want to write a book? I don't know.
You don't know what made you want to do a comic?
I create stories all the time. I have right now about 10 scripts that I've just sort of, most of them are on the back burner and they're ideas to write up later. And so I was like, this one could really, what actually happened was, I had a story idea and I had drawn a bunch of characters before and I was like, these characters fit into this story. So I was like, all right, then I should draw this comic. So it wasn't that I decided to draw the comic. It was more like the comic decided to be drawn by me.
No, you decided to draw the comic.
It wasn't my choice. The story was developed. The characters were there. I couldn't.
Of course it was your choice.
I couldn't write the characters. They were drawn. They were pictures. I couldn't do it any other way. It was absolutely necessary.
That's mental. Of course it was you who decided that the characters aren't actually conscious people, Millen. They're in your imagination.
But although they are conscious people, they're not conscious people. The characters in my head have to follow rules so that they are consistent with themselves as I write them further. So as I continue to write them, they take on lives of their own. So it's an important tool for any writer.
Within your head, though.
But
in your mind,
they'll make decisions that I never felt were that I wouldn't make. Right? They'll make decisions that they would make. They would have to make because that's who they are.
Yeah, and that's how you created them to be.
To an extent.
To all the way, Millen, all the way.
I don't know how to explain this at all. It's true, though. It's true.
No, it's not.
Fine, Mr. Know-It-All. Oh.
Will you continue to update your comic?
I would love to continue to update my comic, and I will do so as soon as I fix the website, because I was using WordPress, and I was using a plugin called Webcomic, and with the latest update of WordPress, it has broken.
No.
And I can't even access the plugin from my interface. So I gotta totally figure out how to reset that up. So.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm working on the comic while it's down, but.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you can still, create characters and storylines.
Yeah, I'm almost done issue 2, or chapter 2.
Whatever. So that was Freaks with Feelings.
Yeah.
Hopefully that will be a worthy investment of your time.
Nothing is an unworthy investment of my time if I'm investing time in it.
Why?
Well, because if I look at it that way, then there's no reason for me to be upset.
But what if that isn't true, though?
Well, I can, the way I see it, you can make anything a worthy investment of your time. You just have to know what point in time is good to let go of a certain path, right? Like if you're taking something in a certain direction and it's just not working out, like I was doing prints of Freaks with Feeling. I was trying to make it into an actual hard copy comic series, but that's too expensive and I'm not making enough sales on the hard copy. So I'm just going to do a web comic out of it, right? So, and then sell digital copies online or print on demand copies. So now it's more worth my time than it was before, right?
Right.
So it's a flexibility. You have to have a flexibility to make anything worth your time.
Yeah, okay. So that was Freaks with Feelings. Do you believe in ghosts?
I don't not believe in ghosts.
So you do?
It really depends on what a ghost is.
What is a ghost?
I believe in imprints.
What's that?
Which is, some people call those ghosts. It's when the energy of an area picks up either an emotion that took place from someone, or maybe someone died in an area and their consciousness and what they represented is imprinted onto that area.
Imprinted how?
It's like, the way I see it, is like, our emotions are just energy and hormones and stuff like that, hormones are chemicals in our body, which are energy. So it's all energy. So that was badly said. Hormones aren't energy, but they're made up of particles, which are made up of energy. Anyway, so if everything is energy, then it's not impossible to imprint an emotion to, like, if you're standing in a spot and you feel a really strong emotion, to have the energy around you pick up on that a bit, right? And maybe hold on to it.
Oh, no. That's not true at all.
Not true. Not scientifically provable at this point in time. But it's not unimprovable. It's not improvable. Is that right?
Well, no. if you're gonna, nothing is improvable.
It's not improvable.
Stop using double negatives. Stop that.
Sorry. It could be, at some point in the future, testable whether or not we could imprint emotions or concepts of self onto areas around us, because that has to do with quantum physics, and quantum physics is constantly reaching that area closer and closer to being able to study that sort of stuff. So that is possible. Possible to study that. It's just not right now.
Do you think an area could influence your emotions and the other way around?
Yes, and that is provable. That is possible, because if you look at music, all right, music is made up of sound waves, which are waves, onto physics again. So music does affect your mood, and it's been proven that different types of music can affect your mood. Really loud music makes you really want to just sort of, like, maybe be in a mosh pit, right? And be like aggressive and ha, hey, ha, right? If you go to a punk concert, you get into the mosh pit and you let out those emotions because you're picking them up in music, the point of that music. If you go to a lounge and hear some jazz music, it'll relax you, right? So if you look at the universe as waves and particles, then everything is a vibration and yes, it can affect your mood.
Okay, so here's my thought on this. You go into a building and there are two doors which lead to two white rooms, which just by looking at them you can't tell the difference. But if you go into the rooms, one of them will make you feel happy and the other will make you feel angry.
I could actually set that up. You put maybe some allergen particles in the one room to make you sad, and you ionize the air in the other, in the first happy. When you take the energy in the room and you make it a certain either positive or negative, you know, anion and ion, right? So if you ionize it, it can lift your mood if you need ionization. You don't want to be too ionized, though.
Nobody wants to be too ionized, Millen.
Then we'd all be Dr. Manhattan.
Last year, over 200 people died because of ionization.
Well, if you alkaline diet, but if you are too alkaline, you're going to get sick, right? You need acidity and alkalinity in your body, just like you need anions and ions in your body, right? You need a balance, healthy balance.
Right.
Really? Over 200 people died from ionization?
I made it up, Millen.
Oh. I'm like, is that even possible? What did they do? Jump into, like, a particle accelerator? Oh, dear Lord. This is, like, Marvel science.
Yeah, it is. It's science fiction, like that. And fantasy.
Yeah, science fiction is pretty spectacular. Like, look at 2001. That was written before space stations or even satellites were up in the sky. Yet, he was writing about space stations and satellites.
Let's hear another quick question.
All right.
How do you deal with news from the US? I imagine you get just as much news coming from the States as coming from the Great White North. And mostly of the American news is like, oh, America's in debt, America's at war, America's all schizophrenic. I imagine it's like having an annoying, clingy younger brother who's addicted to credit cards and smokes plastic. How do you deal with that?
Well, I get most of my news from CBC. That's a Canadian broadcast channel. Mm-hmm. But that's Canadian news. That's North American news. And the rest of the North American news I get from online. I generally avoid most news channels. I'll get really local news from news stations. Like my really local news station for Nova Scotia is Haligonia.ca. But even that's online. And but after that, I go to Al Jazeera. I get all my news from Al Jazeera.
What's that?
The world news station from the Middle East.
Okay.
They're really good. They're really they've proven to be very impartial, a lot more impartial than the rest of the news stations that you get in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
They took sides on the conflicts in the Middle East. Yeah. Only after they had a lot of evidence to support that a certain side was correct, right? And that a certain side was being oppressed. And so that's how they took sides, but they didn't really take sides, even still. They allowed all the sides to speak on their channel, which was, you know, their news, right? So yeah. And they take world news as well. They don't just do the Middle East. They do Europe. They do North America, but mostly the bigger stories, right? So that's where I get most of my news from, because that's what I care about for the most part, is the bigger stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't, if you followed the like, the Egypt situation and the Syria situation, Libya situation. I haven't followed Syria, but it was pretty easy to see who was being wronged because it was just easy. But you had to follow all the Twitter feeds, even the ones who, like, the ones from both sides, you had to follow them all, you had to follow the news reports, and it became pretty clear what was happening.
Okay.
So now it's a little bit harder to tell, but yeah.
Okay.
Good day, Vodketeers. This is Isaac, post-production. You've probably noticed by now that my voice has become a bit out of place when I talk for longer than 2 seconds, and that's because in this recording, any time I talked for a significant length of time, my voice would get jumpy any time in the second half of the recording, so I re-recorded anything I said. Luckily, Millen was talking so much there wasn't much for me to re-record, but it's still noticeable. Anyway, enjoy the rest of what you can over the rest of the podcast. Byesies!
I've had people write up personality charts based on numerology, mm-hmm. and even write up, it suggests the direction of your life, right? Like how you will grow potentially, right? There are a lot of ways you can grow. You can go in a negative path, positive path, but there's a general idea that your numbers will lead you into a certain personality type, right? And so a quarter way through my life, I got my chart done, and it actually, up to where I am now, it's pretty accurate with my personality.
But those personality tests are done so vaguely that any interpretation of them could be correct.
But not really. Not when you look at it from a really good one. Like, it tells me that I am an outgoing personality, right? But that I've got certain traits, like how I'm very, it told me that I was very connected to family, but in certain ways, right? I don't remember the exact wording it used, but it did get a number of dots. So many so that where it may be vague, it could have told me that I was an introverted, scientist who loved math. It didn't, you know. It told me I was into art, music, that sort of stuff, and I am. I'm into all art, which makes it hard for a chart to not be vague. But, you know.
Yeah, the outgoing personality thing I'll get to later, but being connected to family, that's playing the odds, I think.
Well, it had to do with not just connected with family, but that I put a really high, that how I put my stance on family, it wouldn't tell that someone else. It would tell them that family is important, but this is your most important part in life. For me, family is equally as important as my art. And it did tell me that, right? So it was more specific than it could have been if it was trying to just wing it, right?
Right.
It's a faith thing at the same time. You have to have it done for you and done well for you to actually believe it, right? It's like astro traveling. You have to experience it to believe it. And even then, you have to believe it, right? You have to allow yourself to believe it.
Oh, that's very Peter Pan of you.
As for that introvert-extrovert thing, very few of us are exclusively an introvert or an extrovert. What we are differs on what social situation we're in. So if it guesses we're an extrovert, we'll say, yeah, sometimes I am outgoing. So it wins virtually every time, no matter what.
Yeah, and it doesn't tell me that I'm always an extrovert. It told me that I'm generally an extrovert, which I am. I'm... to the public, which is what it addresses, and even astrology will address this too. To the public, I'm extremely extroverted, and I'm always extroverted. Like, I talk all the time. It's hard to get me to shut up, right?
You're telling me.
Yeah. But if you look at my astrology, most people look at astrology and say, oh, I'm an Aquarius, or oh, I'm a Leo. You know, you are, but I'm not just an Aquarius, I'm also a Cancer and an Aries.
What? Why?
Because I got a sun sign, which is Aquarius, I've got a rising sign, which is Cancer, and I've got a moon sign, which is Aries. After that, there's a bunch of other signs too, but they don't matter as much. These three signs are seriously crucial to understanding who you are, because your sun sign is what you show to the world. Your rising sign is what your family and your close friends know. Your moon sign, only you know your moon sign. No one else gets to know your moon sign, like who you are from your moon sign, right? How it affects you. That part is purely for yourself.
Right. But there are many different kinds of astrology, like Hebrew mythology and...
Astrology, not mythology.
Are you saying that your version is superior? Are you saying that Hebrew astrology or Hindu astrology doesn't work?
No. Generally, I know a few different astrologies follow some different rules, but generally, if you were to combine them all, they fit into a pretty standard set. If you look at the signs of the years in Japan and China, they have their own symbols, but they coincide with each other. Like they'll line up with each other in certain ways. They might differ in a few ways, but generally they are the same, right? It's like looking at ancient science. Different areas are too separated, so they might take a different path and not have the same studies to it's like science before the internet. Not everyone knew every study, right? So you came up with different conclusions in one area, and maybe you didn't have enough information to what am I getting at here? I know what I'm getting at, but I don't know how to word it. Astrology is a science. It's a math.
No, it isn't.
It's a math. It has to do. Okay, look. If you go back to how, go look at gravity, all right?
Yeah.
When you're talking about the moon, the sun, the horizon, all these different points have different sets of different gravitational pulls coming from each point, right? The moon definitely is a very strong gravitational pull. The sun is a very strong gravitational pull. Whatever's on your horizon, there might be different planets there or none. And so that's going to affect the gravitational pull. You get what I'm saying? So the logic is that, or the idea is that this gravitational pull will affect how you develop physically. So this has nothing to do with how you develop afterward from outer influences. That's not possible to study. But how you develop physically could theoretically be affected by gravitational pull.
Right.
None of this I expect anyone to believe. It's just theoretic stuff. But look at gravitational pulls and how they actually affect us already. Look at the moon. When it's a full moon, that has to do with how the sun and the moon are aligned, you know, because the sun's light is able to shine on the moon completely. There's a lot more aggressive act, and it actually has to do with the gravitational pull of the moon.
Okay.
Have there been studies that count the number of crimes during a full moon versus during a new moon?
There have been studies, yeah. Look them up. I don't keep
sure.
Track of it. But if you look at werewolf myths and stuff like that, the idea that they only come out during the full moon has to do with people. There is a history throughout human history, a recorded history of people being really aggressive during full moon. Even now, if you go to a police station, ask them, do you get a higher crime rate during a full moon, right? And see what they tell you. Now, maybe.
Just
maybe
tell
I'm
me to
wrong.
Get out.
Maybe I'm wrong. No, it's an honest question. Just be like serious about it. Like, I'm checking this out. Like, do you get a higher crime rate? Maybe they won't tell you. And that's their fault. Anyway. Just if you inquire about it, I've found that what I've read anyway shows that there is. Find out for yourself, you know, study it up, do your own thing if you're interested. And you should be able to find that there is. There's a higher instance of violent act during full moon.
No.
Yeah. Any of your listeners can decide for themselves too, and maybe inform themselves before making a decision.
Yeah. Okay. That's good advice. Inform yourself before you make these decisions as to what you want to believe.
Exactly. Just because the studies I've read have led me to believe it doesn't mean I'm reading the right studies.
Yeah. No hope for Millen, but there's still hope for you.
Thanks.
Well, that's all from us this week. Catch us next week where I'll be interviewing another randomer from the internet. Email in isaac@vodkapodcast.com and listen online at vodkapodcast.com. Do you have any final words, Millen?
Wow, I drew a blank. Yoga.
Wow.
Because I do yoga. Yoga?
Well, I know what it is, but why do you do it?
Oh, because I love it. It makes me extremely flexible.
Really?
That's for all the ladies out there.
Woo! I'm sure you'll be taking in phone calls by the dozen when this comes out.
Fantastic.
Sending in emails. Do you have, like, a YouTube page or something?
I do. It's A Neon Village. A Neon Village. All one word. That's And yeah, that's my YouTube.
Yeah, and I'll also link your comic series on the description to this podcast. So that's all good.
All right, cool.
All right, cool. All right, yeah. Well, take care, Millen.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye.